Yes, thank you for this nice setup here. Yeah, we want to introduce City Country Climate to you. What is it? Let's start with me. I'm Lucas. Hi. I've been in this climate movement since 2020. I worked with Private States for Future in the strategy planning on a federal level, and it was very important to me to also continue this activism aside the big centers, so to take it to the countryside and into smaller cities. And this is what gave rise to this project here. We're going to get into this in more detail later. So about City Country Klima, what is this? What do we do? It's a cross-movement portal about climate change in a municipal context. So yeah, there's a lot happening on the federal and the European Union level, but there's very, very little happening in the smaller municipalities and in the smaller cities. There's a municipal climate portal where we gather resources, we offer a lot of cool tools, we link them, we integrate them, and we give people an overview what's happening on the municipal level, what can you do, what's already been done. So it's like a first point of contact where you can see the possibilities that already exist, that are spread far and wide all over the internet. You can find them here. And at the core is there's a uniform ranking of the municipalities where we measure how much progress they made in climate protection. It's not just about the CO2 emissions to measure their climate change efforts, but we rank them according to concrete measures and how they implement them. These processes are very complex. You can't just calculate them on your own. And you also need a lot of data that are not just so readily accessible. You need contacts in the municipalities. But you can't really rank them objectively without those. Just a brief interruption. We got a bit of tech trouble that is being troubleshot here.
Okay.
So we are still trying to resolve some tech troubles with the projection.
Sorry for this little break. We got a bit of technical trouble. We're trying to resolve this as soon as possible so we can continue with the talk. We ask you to have a little patience here on site and at home. Maybe use this time to get a cup of tea, get a cup of coffee. We'll be right back.
It's working again. All right, let's continue. So what's the thought behind doing this? We don't want to rank this after the CO2 balance, but we want to look at actual activities, not just because the summarization of CO2 outputs is quite difficult to calculate, but sometimes it's very strange output. So if you've got an airport, then the emissions of all the aircraft while they are in the airspace of the city And depending on where cars are produced, it could be that all the emissions of everywhere that were produced there are kept in the city where they're there. And these kind of difficulties exist with all these standards. But we want to calculate of the things that the community actually can decide itself. And we don't make it wanted rather simple. Of course, nothing is real simple in reality, but this is how we are approaching this topic without lots of legal knowledge and get access to this. This is one of our core starting points, that you get young activists who've just gotten to this and really got engaged in communal climate protection. And of course, we want to establish a community which is sharing and bringing this topic ahead. This is a team. There's a few people join in the meantime, but these are the four people that we've established this network with, and it's being created from several organizations. It's part from Fridays for Future, who've looked on the more rural space. Engineers for Future, we're about to start something similar, and we've joined efforts. And then we have the Creatives for Future, who also supported what we're doing. And then a few more, who together Future, Local Zero, are also a large partner who do lots of things on the communal areas. And then we have got Reflector, which are a network which we found being quite good. Which are a bit Tinder for activists, which are helping with projects and other people who can offer help. So a little bit how we work. It's completely non-profit, so none of us get any money from doing this. We do it all in our free time, and all of us are doing something else, are either working or studying, but we are using the time that's available to bring the project ahead. We want to make it very open, so if somebody works directly, can directly make decisions, make it very open. For example, what we post, how things develop in all the categories. Of course, the project is open source, it's on GitHub. You can also find it under our name. We are a non-profit and working for the common good. Wherever we have costs, we've gotten some support via the FFF, for example, for servers, for traveling costs. And this year we've got some support from the SSE, which we could realize other things with. And then we've got a few other donations. So we want to do it cooperatively. In many organizations, you see, everybody goes with a plan, everybody's got different similar goals, and there was not enough exchange between people. We really want to keep people together and bring ideas together and network projects, especially on communal area, because there were many in our local areas, there's knowledge that others exist, other projects exist, but there was very little exchange between them. And this is something that we want to overcome. So now to our project itself. What do we do? So we've got a ranking with the catalog of activities that all the communal areas have, and they either it's decided locally or were significantly influenced by the community, so not on federal level. And the data for this are all public. So for some data, for example, for identifying electricity network components, of course, has to be publicly declared, but other things, if they are not publicly findable, then they're not fulfilled. So for example, public participation. And if you search for this data and you can't find it, then it's either not there or it's so badly executed that so little people can profit from it, so we don't give points for this. And this is measurable and objective, so of course that's not completely possible, but in many areas that's actually working quite well. and it's transparent, so we are giving sources and everybody can verify themselves if these data is actually correct. And this can be done on location without massive investment of time. So for example, for one weekend, you can do these activities in place. I can do it faster if you've got lots of people, of course. This works not by us going to 10,000 of local communities and identifying this, but we are actually offering this as a tool where local teams can actually then make this ranking. And so is it a futures group, is it a local team, is it a NABU team, or is it individuals who just kind of say, we want to join this, and they get an account, and then we get part of the climate local team, and then via this guide do research to say, what is my community doing, and then do an assessment. So first of this is called communication, beautiful graphics, visualizations. We've got numbers which you can approach a community and say, look, in our area we are quite bad in these rankings. Some other communities have done that much better than we have. So get an overview over the current progress, what they're doing and what they're not doing. And this, of course, does create a to-do list of the things that could be done, which can advance political change. So, and this gives a weighting of the measures that are going to be relevant in your community. We, of course, want to improve collaboration and visibility of the locations on their way to climate neutrality. And for locations who can sort of be a lighthouse in this area. And of course, this way we want to allow access to organizations that are active on location. Why are we the worst community in our federal state, in this case NOW, and we can, there's links to organizations. These are the organizations that are actually engaged in trying to address political change in these areas.
Yeah, so how did we draw up this list of measures? We threw a lot of data at this project, the demands from a lot of organizations. So then we had a list about 100 measures. We thought, yeah, that's a bit much. That's a lot of effort. So the level of entry is very high. So we reviewed that with a lot of experts, with Local Zero, and then we picked out 35 measures from this list that had a good balance between the relevant, the doable for most municipalities, and they have a lot of influence over does this happen or not, and they are available to do. And yeah, here's a study about municipal climate protection, which is one of our great sources. And yeah, we divided it into a couple of sectors. This is nothing new, nothing spectacular. Buildings and warmth, energy, traffic, industry, consumption, etc. Agriculture, nature, food, climate change management, and administration. This is kind of a niche topic. This is something that doesn't save a lot of emissions, but it paves the way for measures that can be done. Does the municipality have climate change management? Is there at least a part-time job, or do 50 people actually work there? And of course, this is in relation to how big is the city municipality. And how much power do they have? Are they subordinate to some other authority? Do they report directly to the mayor? So are they a small cog in the wheel in the, or do they really have a say? And we also gave some specs about these measures. So how do they work? And impact is the estimate. How much does this actually affect? How difficult is it to implement? There's two categories. There's, of course, obviously the costs. If it's costly, there's a lot of opposition, even if one likes them. And there's also political controversy. If we say we want a speed limit all over the city, it's something that doesn't cost the city a lot, but there's a lot of ideological opposition in politics. It's a bit of a guide and a warning how much resistance to expect from which corners. And we want to expand this long term. Here's organizations who might be able to help you. Here's organizations that might oppose these measures. So, you know, a political roadmap of how to actually implement these measures. There's an overview with the impact weight, et cetera, et cetera. It's available as a PDF from our site. So how far did we get? We had the initial ideas in October 22. We thought, it would be kind of cool to rank these municipalities and to give these smaller local groups the tools to get in there and actually get something done. And in June 23, we talked to Fridays for Future, the Engineers for Future, and we started to develop and to workshop the name. And the end of last year, we started off pilot phase. And there was a very spontaneous talk at last year's Congress in a self-organized session. We presented that, and now we're a couple steps further on our road. We finished the pilot phase, and right now we have working measures, not just example measures. It's usable to actually go into politics with it. We're still in our beta phase because some things are not as pretty and professional as we'd want them to be. But yeah, start of next year, we want to really get a finished, usable project off the ground. Want to launch this. So, and this can be brought into politics. It's already working in a couple places. So what have we done so far? We presented it at the federal meeting of Local Zero. They invited us. We started the pilot phase. Then we had this Congress talk, which was really, really cool. And then we had local teams participating in the pilot phase, who started filling in measures, testing the application. And in April, that ended. Then we got an article in the Frankfurter Allgemeine newspaper. We were very surprised that we managed to get into this big newspaper for our first publication. It was a short article introducing us, introducing our comparison portal, so that every municipality doesn't need to do it individually. They can network, and it can be looked up online. And then we were at the ELCOI, the local conference of youth. And now, at the year end, we're here. We've 15 municipalities that have been finally ranked and filled in and published. We have about 650 individual measures that we've evaluated, different teams who've started but aren't done yet. There's 75 local teams signed up there. These are locals, local teams, individual people who want to evaluate their municipality. And there's new onboarding meetings every other week. We introduce the application. I'm going to get into that a bit later. So what are our current plans? We want to promote successful projects in the municipalities. They love copy-paste. If one municipality has a great project, this is how it works. It was great. We convinced a lot of people. Then you can give it to other municipalities. They wouldn't dare start a lighthouse project, but it already worked here and there and there. Let me call somebody there, get the inside info, we can cooperate. And the municipality says, yeah, they rock this. Maybe we can do this here as well. And it's much easier than making this up out of whole cloth. We want to give them tools to use, but it's a lot of insider knowledge there in different organizations, and nobody really knows the big picture. There's a vision, climate vision generator. There's the ranking about solar power. And we always encounter new things, and we want to give everybody a pool of tools to use. And there's a political tutorial that shows how to implement these things. And what we just started, I'm going to talk about this. There's providing own data, because it's difficult for a lot of measures. the UI. We wanted to improve the user interface, and we want to have an actual desktop layout for our website. Because if you've looked at this website on a desktop, it's still the mobile design. This is what it's supposed to look like, and that's the things that is in development.
And then we have a PDF download of the community summary, which is a list of the measures that got locally approved. And this is 1 to 2 pages, and you can just download and just submit it. And that would look like this. All right, so data analysis I already talked about. So we want to attempt to have a conference or a meetup of local teams. That won't be a large conference, but it might be 20 to 30 people meeting from all across Germany. This was the exchange to the tool and working with it, and what are things that have worked, which are things that we, what are tips that we could give each other, and how can we understand the team more as a community and support each other. And there were more and more questions. What is about climate resilience, and what is ranking on federal state level? But this is something that climate resilience is something that so far we haven't done. And of course, like, and federal level compared to the common level isn't really done that much, and that would be a great perspective to do something. All right, so demo. The website, I can just show it here. You can still see it's a bit of a mobile layout, but here you can see a ranking of the communities. This are 15 teams, and the completion in percentage compared to what they've done. And let's look at a community. Let's have a look at Nettetal, and we can see an overview over the sectors, how well they are done. This is all a bit sad, to be honest, but here you can see the different measures that have been taken and how well they're fulfilling the criteria. So there's no points, 1/3, 2/3, or full points for this specific measure, and this has all been researched. And you can have a look at it. This is even a negative thing. This is something that you can fulfill by not doing that specific thing. And we can find a quote where natural gas is being praised as a particularly environmentally friendly measure, and that of course doesn't get points. So we have, for example, improving balcony power generation, and you can look at all these sectors in detail. Let's go to another community. So this, for example, is Paderborn, which looks a lot better. You can have a look what's been done here. How does these things look in detail? How can you fill this information in? Here I have just a view on the back end. This is what the local team would see. So if they're saying we participate, so we create an account, we can add additional people, and we see this portal, and then we can enter specific things. You can see the approvals of all the measures, and you can go in and scroll down. So I'm just selecting a few of these. We can have a look what these measures, what kind of information do these measures have? What are the metrics of this measure? So here is it just percentage, how much renewable energies does this local energy supply organization have? So there's a few interesting calculatory tricks. For example, there's renewables supported by EEG. These aren't really renewables. These aren't energy measures at all. So this is energy that is calculated via what was different from the EEG support. So if you've got a carbon coal power plant and you've paid this and you received this amount, then the power is being generated somewhere else, and that is considered. But this power in fact, isn't really generated locally. So you can follow these links, search for my local power generation, and then kind of find this. Just have a look. Product, power. It's usually quite easy to find. And there is some information on the power mix. And we can see quite a beautiful one. So here we can say a bit more transparently which parts are supported by EEG and which aren't. So this is here 22%. It was a few percent less before, below 25%, so there's no point at this ranking. So you select the color, you write some information, what is the current state of this, and then all the measures that were taken, and then they appear here in the public ranking. Okay, while we're not just on CCC, I also want to talk a little bit about the software. We've got quite a number of tools which we have got behind this. One of them is Directus, which is a headless content management system, JavaScript based. It's open source. It's free up to organizations who make up to 5 million per year. And we can use it obviously quite well. It's no low code, majorly, so you can do lots of things with it without actually touching JavaScript, because we've got, of course, lots of people there who can support us without doing that. You can do extensions with JavaScript, but you can do lots of point and click adventures, so you feel a little bit like a Scratch program. You got a click trigger, and then if the condition is fulfilled, then you go somewhere else. If not, you could create an error case. This is if a new measure is created, then it creates every team a new slot in this ranking where they can rate it. So, and then if we go to Directus, there's a simple database system. We can just create fields and change them, and then the framework transfer this into actual data which are in the database. So this is a Postgres database, works with all sorts of things. So how do we get the changes in prod? Because the known low-code changes shouldn't be saved anywhere except in production. And what do we do to do this test? So based on the Directus API, we've built a CLI tool which takes the flow and endpoint models of this, get the configuration from Directus, creates YAML files of this. And these YAML files we can put into Git, we can read them, they are user readable, and we can go on the other side of the CLI tool, read them and turn them into imports for the Directus import API. And this is how we can make changes really reliable into Directus. So our front end is Next.js, it's based on Vue.js. I'm not a front end developer, don't really know it that much in detail, but. And then there is, we were thinking about, you can, as a designer, not so easily make modifications to the website, because you would need to go in the code, and this is quite difficult. So if you've got people who are not developers, and then we thought, all right, we're just evaluating this. There is a project called Blockly. That's a Swiss open source project, a visual editor for Nuxt. It's open source. It's a really small project. but we're currently working on integrating it. Then we've got data mining. These are quite difficult to understand. So lots of things have to be calculated together. For local energy supplies, you've got to just kind of filter out the percentage of energy use. For some measures, we haven't put them in because they're very hard to quantify, especially in transport sector. There are lots of metrics which are missing. So what we're currently working on are bicycle lanes. A very simple example which we're working on is charging columns in the city. So there is a nice map for that. So here there's a screenshot. There is points wherever there's charging ports, and you can go there. This is, of course, years old, but you can go there and check how many charging ports actually exist there. We've defined a metric. We've got need this many per city. Okay, I've checked this with my community. And then there's 2 points for fast charge ports and 2 for normal ones. Okay, 37 points is the score. And then somebody else from team did this, who's in Stuttgart, and said that doesn't really work. But the data's there. What's different? And then I was in front of a diagram with dots, dots. No, sorry, how many dots are this? Okay, this is a chart from the Federal Network Agency. So, we've got thousands of points, and we would need to count through all of them. And of course, that didn't really work. So then afterwards, we said we're going to offer that as service.
We're going to process these data. You can download it, and then you can evaluate them, filter by municipalities, and here you enter the name of the community. We give you back how many are there, what's the structure. It's a lot easier to research, and that's what we did. We're still working on that currently, but then we found some weird things in this data set, because we did the scale plot of all the charging stations all over Germany. You can see, if you look at the borders of Germany, some of the German charging points are not in Germany. That's a bit bad. There's a lot of outliers in any data set, but it's very usual for a federal agency to show things that are not in Germany. We researched how can this be, that there are points beyond the borders, and yeah, we found a weird thing. We checked those down there in Switzerland, and they said, "Ah, yeah, this is on a parking lot on a discounter in Freiburg, but this is 100 kilometers away. What's happening here?" And we thought, "Ha, what if you enter the coordinators? If you change the format and then use the same numbers in the wrong format?" Yeah, and then we found, yeah, if we turn this around, this is how you get to this parking lot. And that's something that happened here. The coordinate formats were messed up. And it's not super obvious deviations, so we're currently working on really looking into this data. There are address data attached to the coordinates, and do these two match? And we're trying to clean up our data here. This is one of these fun little stories that encounter us. And of course, we report this back to the agency where we got it from, so maybe they can update the data. So yeah, how can you join us? We want to have it as open as possible. It's very easy to rank your municipality. You can go through the list of measures. You can come to us with our questions. It's very easy to open up a local team. We need you to be a little independent from politics. Of course, it's not forbidden to be active in the government, in a party, but we also want to have independent people involved, so we have some independent checks and balances, so the parties can't, you know, greenwash their own policies. We're also happy to have support for our software team. Our software team is very small, so There could be a lot of cool and helpful things be done if we had more support from you. There's also data mining and developing measures, developing criteria, how to implement them, how to describe them. And there's also our social media management. We have an Instagram where we explain a couple words from local politics, what's quarter concept, and there's a couple info slides about that. Look into it. Here's a picture. And we also feature the municipalities who have fully filled in rankings. There's a year kickoff team meeting online on January 20 at 7 p.m. There's going to be a link. And of course, here you can join us. There's a signal group. People can join via the QR code. And you can see the onboarding dates. And you can just come and join us. Yeah. These are my slides. I did stick to my schedule. So we have 15, 20 minutes for a Q&A. So thank you. Thank you for this great informative talk. We're going to come to the Q&A. If people need to leave, please try not to disturb the Q&A. I've got a colleague running around here with a microphone. The question is, are there questions here? Should I show of hands? Yep. Local Zero does have a similar initiative, right, where they rank the municipalities. Is this the same? Are you working together on this? Yeah, a great question. I've got a couple bonus slides for that. We cooperated very closely with them in developing these points. Here's a couple slides on that, introducing the project. We saw that they're working on this Local Zero monitoring, and we are working on our ranking. And we thought, does this make sense? But yeah, it does. It's both ranking municipalities, but it's still two different things. We have this catalog of measures to compare municipalities, so you can just get a quick overview without a lot of effort. But Local Zero, on the other hand, they want to have this climate action plan drawn up, and they evaluate how any municipalities are according to their climate change plan. So not according to what do we want, but according to what did they actually achieve and how far are they on track to achieving things. And that's, this is specific and much more detailed than our catalog. Similar for a couple of municipalities, but there are really very detailed data for each municipality. And we thought, yeah, we don't need to join forces here. One is very specific and very detailed. They spent weeks, months working on drawing up this data, and we are more a point of entry to get an overview, first initial infos, how do I get into this project, to have some easy communication talking points. Next question. Yeah, hi. Thanks for the talk. I'm from Austria, and the question is, how hard would it be to transfer this to Austria? Does this work in principle? Yeah, we've been thinking about this. If maybe we could do this in Germany, Austria, Switzerland. It's difficult, actually. If it's possible, we'd definitely be down for it. But there's one premise. What can the municipality decide? And I'm not sure about how Austrian politics work. There are a couple differences. So we'd look to compare how good these measures translate to Austria. It's definitely a long-term project we'd like to do, but we don't have the capacities currently. It's already very difficult to define municipality, even in Germany. It's municipalities, it's cities, but every German state has different categories, and it's already different from state to state within Germany. So it's a lot of philosophical discussion. What is a municipality, actually? So yeah, we'd be down for it, but it's probably going to take a while to get this into Austria. So yeah, if you want to do this, we'd like to work together. Yeah, the next questions on my left. I'll try to look out for you, but here's the next one. Yeah, hi, very interesting introduction, talk. So I've got the intra-German question about the comparison. So there's different size municipalities, the Nettetal, it's a small place, and there's Hamburg, which is a big place. It's looking a bit better, and I'm a bit skeptical, because my personal impression is different, but how do you compare a big city to a little village? And like, there's subdivisions in cities, if they're bigger. So how do you display that? The basic answer is, if we have more areas, we split it a bit. There's one ranking for bigger cities and one for smaller places. Like, the content, it's the big difference in communal climate protection. A lot of things are very similar, no matter the household budget. A lot of things can be done everywhere, but of course there's the biggest difference is between bigger and smaller cities. So to keep it fair, we might need to split up this ranking between bigger cities and smaller municipalities. Next questions here down the middle. Yeah, thanks for the talk. Very, very cool thing you've got going there. My question is it always just a temporary snapshot that you evaluate, or do we have, how does this change over time? Does it get better? Does it get worse? Because every municipality says, yeah, till 2023, we want to get climate neutral. And it's a lot of bullshit a lot of the time. Do you have any way of looking into that? Yeah, we plan to do that, but it's not coming anytime soon, but we want to have an archive so you can have a timeline. They had this. They were here at the initial evaluation, and then year by year, how did this change? The evaluations do have an updated date, so you can see how current this is. We think a lot of the local teams who do this locally, they're going to notice if things change, and that they're going to go, yay, success, we're going to update the data. So this works quite well, the things are up to date. So things are not older than a year that are published on our site, but we don't have a timeline yet. But it's a very good idea, yeah?
Are there any further questions? I'm seeing there is no hands up. Oh, no, there is one over there. Many thanks for the talk. I found this was a very interesting thing to see. So there are some sustainability strategies in municipalities. So, for example, municipalities creating their own reports and make this transparent. Do you use this as data? Are you working, for example, was the SDG portal where the sustainable development by communities of municipalities are submitting this and getting ranked? Generally, the local teams are making the research, so it's their decision what they use. The overlap to the SDG and our measures are quite different because we are only looking at climate change, and that's the only overlap, because this is why it didn't work that well. But of course, there's some SDGs for, let's say, agricultural goals, but if we're looking at the overall report, is this really reliable data, then it's quite useful, because this is really what we want to achieve, that the municipalities actually make this public and get their own clear image of like what they're actually doing and what the quality is. So the first thing that a municipality would do to get a few points in this ranking is just that it would rework its website so you could actually find these points and get better informed. And if a municipality is already doing that and have a good sustainability management, then of course this is quite helpful. Are there any further questions? Oh, there in the back in the middle. My question is, how do you approach it if municipalities communicate their weaknesses and then tell that with a bad message? How do you do that? So we assess what's there and what we can find, and if this measure hasn't been taken, then of course we're not giving them points. But of course, what it does mean that if they are transparent, then it's easier for the local team to be cooperative. We are not setting clear rules for how local teams are supposed to deal with this. So they're not using our name, but they are using their original organization's name. And then, of course, they've got different approaches which actually cooperate with the municipalities. And of course, there's some which are much more confrontative and aggressive, because municipalities just aren't very interested in their work. And then, of course, it's not something that we give in, but that's, of course, what the local teams are assessing. Is there additional questions? If there's any more questions. Oh, and the center back. There was a question before that large cities and smaller cities are looked at separately. Are the items that are used for smaller villages, are they different, that there is some comparability? The catalogue of measures is the same for all cities, smaller and larger. It's just that in the ranking, of course, smaller municipalities are in competition with smaller municipalities and larger with larger, because of course the larger ones have much, much more opportunities to do things, and because of larger cities are just, of course, in the ranking much, much higher above than smaller ones. So of course we are kind of thinking about what is the scale. Usually above 10,000 inhabitants municipalities, we can use municipalities that are smaller. It's just very, very hard, because if there's much more interpretation wiggle room. For example, if the entire local area has got a repair cafe, if it's just like for that small area, so, and then it doesn't really have that much interpretive value, because of course the factors just get very washed out. But above 10,000 inhabitants, it gets quite clear.
Here vorne in der Mitte gibt's noch eine Frage.
Here in the center, we've got one. How much server hardware do you have, and where is it? We have a small server from FFF, and we've got private VMs that we've put in. So I think this is 2 CPUs and 2 gigabyte RAM. So it's a very, very small portal. Of course, it will get larger when we do data mining, and all the data bases from OpenStreetMaps we are running locally, but of course, at the moment.